Jesus Christ, that you have promised in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. And Lord, it doesn't matter, should we be in a desert, should we be in a wilderness, should we be in a car park, should we be in the countryside, should we be in a town or a city, wherever we are, Lord, and we meet under that name and we uplift the name of Jesus, we know that you're in our midst. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the comfort that your presence brings and the knowledge and the assurance that we can rest in knowing that you're here. Lord, we thank you that the psalmist David said that thou art a very present help in the time of trouble. And Lord, we know, Lord, that when we face troubles and anxieties and cares, we know, Lord God, that you're there. We know that you are the strong-breasted one. We know, Lord, that your arm is not shortened, that you cannot see it. We thank you, Lord, that your word also says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears open to their cry. And Lord, we know this morning that you hear us when we pray. We know that you hear us when we call upon your name, and we know that you are never far from us. Indeed, Lord, whither shall we go from your presence? Lord, we just ask you this morning that you'd pour out your Spirit upon all that's said and done, each and every one, Lord, the preacher, Lord, for me, Lord, for all those that take part, even for those that would be in their car and those that would listen in on thy word. Lord, we need a top up from heaven. Lord Jesus, we need thy Spirit to move upon us. Lord, we are desperate because without you we can do absolutely nothing. Lord, it's you, Lord, who comes to us, Lord, and gives us encouragement. It's you who lifts us out of the horrible pit. It's you who reaches down. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you do, because without your help, we would be totally and utterly lost and condemned. Lord, we would have no hope at all. We would have no joy knowing the truth we know. We would have no satisfaction in life whatsoever. But because, Lord, we know the end, because we have read the book, because we know, Lord, that you cried, it is finished, and we know that you went on to prepare a place for us. Lord, we know that your word says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we can enjoy the things, Lord, in this world. We can enjoy your creation. Lord, we can enjoy one another's fellowship, Lord. We can enjoy having fellowship with the Holy Ghost because we know, Lord, that the end is good. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be concerned for those in our family that's not yet saved, to those that have not yet committed their lives to follow you. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll continue to work on them, Continue, Lord, to draw them to yourself. And for those, Lord, that's made commitments, Lord, or made decisions, we pray, Lord, that you'll help them, Lord Jesus Christ. For, Lord, vain is the help of man. And, Lord, should a man try of his own self, he would utterly fail. But, Lord God, it's you that do the saving, and it's you that does the keeping. And we just pray, Lord God, that you'll minister on to each and every one this morning, according to each one's needs, we pray. We ask you, Lord, that as the sound of thy word goes forth, that it'll be like a mighty hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. We pray, Lord, every stronghold of the enemy will be pulled down this morning. And we pray, Lord, that the name of Jesus Christ will go through this land like a mighty conquering army in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, we know we're on the victor's side. Let us unfurl our banners for Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord God, that you bless all the said and done in the service. May it bring glory and honour to thy lovely name. And Lord, we say this morning, before we say amen, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for redemption, Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you also this morning for the empty grave, for the resurrection from the dead. We bless thy holy name, and we say, Lord, thou art the mighty conqueror. Lord, thou art the champion of all the ages, and there is none like thee. We bless thy name this morning, and we ask you now, Lord, that you indeed will bless us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. We're going to sing a hymn if you know it. Join in. And when Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved. The Lord had gone away. When Mary came to find the tomb of the tomb of Jesus. you want to turn in your redemption hymn books, if you've got them with you this morning, number 361, we'll sing a hymn before the pastor comes. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. 361 in your redemption hymn book, if you want to join along. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message we bring you, Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way. Is passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way, is passing this way today. Is there a heart that is broken, weary and sighing for rest? Come to the arms of thy Savior. Jesus is passing this way. Mention that Joy up in Strabane, John and Karen's daughter, has had another little baby boy born just last night at 8 pounds weight, and I believe all is well. So just keep Joy on Billy Sproul in your prayers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord bless.
Praise the Lord. We certainly do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning in the name of the Lord, and we just appreciate God and the Word of God and the things of God, and it is good news that all's well, and with Joy and the little baby. We had prayed for Joy some time back, and we just thank the Lord that they're all well this morning. Praise God. Well, I do give everyone again a very warm welcome here this morning, and trust the Lord will bless all that's here and all that's listening in. And this might be our last drive-in service for a time. Now, I want to say that if anyone has an idea where we could do a drive-in somewhere as a way of an outreach, please let me know. This is after this, outside of our service times, Friday night, any night. I'm willing to do it. If you have any ideas where we could go to do it, like an outreach, let me know. If anyone's interested to do that, I certainly am. I had plans to do one in Craigavon Shopping Centre, but the brother that was arranging it couldn't get a hold of the fella that owned it. So that's on hold. It might happen still at some point, the Lord willing. But next Sunday morning, if all goes well, we'll be in our premises in Tondagee. We've got a place where we can meet at the bottom of Tondagee. It's very close to the library at the bottom of Tondagee. There's parking in Tondagee car park, and it's just a short walk across. We'll have more details up on our webpage and everything beforehand. Some of us is going tomorrow to just check it out, and then the brothers is going to bring the chairs and things over, and we think it's big enough that we can social distance in it and still have our service, and we'll be abiding by all the laws and regulations as best we can and know, and we'll have signs up and the different things up. But I think it'd be nice to get back to fellowship, and then we'll have our communion and everything when we get back under the roof, praise God. So we just want to appreciate the Lord for all the Lord's doing. We have to march on, regardless of COVID-19. We cannot be ruled by COVID-19, but we must be ruled and led by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And we know these different things are about. They're for different reasons. And we just thank the Lord for those of us that's here, that God has kept us. God has kept us, all that's here. And God has certainly protected us, all that's here. And we do continue to thank God for that, and to pray that the Lord will continue to keep every one of us safe at these times, praise God. I want this morning to turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 6, and I have preached from this scripture many times, and this morning I might delve a little bit into the Adamic age and Eden, and just a little bit so that we can get a picture of man's condition and the fall of man this morning. But I want to take the imputation of righteousness of God from a text from verse 6 of Romans 4. Romans chapter 4 then and verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Maybe we could bow again for a word of prayer. And if you have a need in your car, lift your hand up high. And every head bow, every eye closed, raise your hand in your vehicle for every hour or listening in. And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will meet your need and touch you. Whatever you have need of, our God is able. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee this morning for thy precious word of truth. We thank thee most of all for the wonderful coming into this world of God's wrought gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation so rich and so free. We thank thee for the precious blood of the Lamb of God that washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we acknowledge that we were fallen and in a fallen condition, but we thank thee for thy salvation. Father, we would ask that thou would wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Cleanse us and sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, we pray. Father, I ask for every hand raised in these cars or in the home or listening in. Lord, that in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that thou would meet their need for the glory of the Lord. Father, protect us, everyone, and keep us safe from all the wiles of the enemy as we plead the merits of the precious blood over all that's listening in today, in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, praise God. The imputation of the righteousness of God, the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth, for that word in some translations will be ascribed. God has ascribed to us his righteousness when we accept him and when we receive him. The sin question is the one question Christ came to settle, and God settled it through his one and all supreme sacrifice on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we absolutely believe, let me say it, this fellowship, we believe in salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone. No add-ons. That'll be enough. Praise God. If we are to understand how God dealt with the sin question, then we can begin to understand the righteousness question. Now we know the gospel has its power because of the righteousness of God. That's the thing that gives the gospel its punch. That's the thing that gives the gospel its power. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is superior to Buddhism, to Mohammedism, or to any other isms. The gospel's power, punch, is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not like any other man that was ever born of a woman. He is far superior. He is God himself manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. As C.H. Spurgeon put it, Jesus Christ is indeed the God-man. Praise God. He knew no sin and he had no sin. He is a sinless, the blameless, the spotless Son of God. Therefore, he had suffering that none of the rest of us had, that Buddha never had, that Muhammad never had. Death had no claim on the life of Christ because he had no original sin. But death had a claim on every single man that was born of a woman. But death had no claim upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is a righteous Savior. He is a holy Savior. And this righteousness is imputed or ascribed to every single person that will put their trust in the Savior. Romans 6 and 23 tells us, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Me and you are sinners, not because we drank a pint of beer, not because we looked at something we shouldn't have looked at. None of those things makes you or me a sinner. We are sinners because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin plunged the whole world into universal separation and universal condemnation. That is why we needed one that was superior, one that was righteous to come, and the Bible calls him the second Adam, or the Lord from heaven. Praise God. Now we know, according to Romans, that if we bear the image of the earthly Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, the Lord Jesus Christ. The death sentence passed upon all men because of one man's disobedience. For by one man's disobedience, all were made sinners. So your wee boy or wee girl's not made a sinner when they reach a certain age and they do something that's sinful. You and me and every one of us are sinners by nature and we're sinners by birth. We had no choice. We were born like that. But thank God there's a way out. There is one that brings redemption. There is one that brings a way of escape. And that one is the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 2:17 it says this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God give them clear instructions. God set down his laws, God set down his rules, what to do, but man broke it and woman broke it. Praise God. We need to remember Adam had no death within his body until the time, you know, God made Adam. You see, Adam wasn't born of a woman like me and you, but God made Adam. And because God made Adam, Adam had actually no sin. And Adam had no death reigning in him. And Adam had no decay reigning in him. And there was no sin and no death when Adam was made until the time he broke God's law and God's commandment, thou shalt not eat thereof, nor touch it. For in the day thou dost, thou shalt surely die. Death entered here because of disobedience. Romans 5 and 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. He never reached 1,000 years. And no man ever reached 1,000 years that lived upon this earth. But there is a promise in the Word of God that those of us that are truly saved and born again of the Spirit of God, that we are going to live and we're going to reign with Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. The very thing that no man could reach because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are going to live and reign in this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He never reached it because of sin. Now, Genesis 3, verse 17 and 19. Now you have to understand this condition to understand the righteousness of God. You must understand the original beginning of sin. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat it all thy days. Look at verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. I want you to see this morning man's condition here. Man's lost condition. I want you to try to picture, maybe very well, you know, you could say this is the worst moment in the history of mankind right here, or the worst moment in the history of the human race. Adam and his wife Eve standing outside the gorgeous garden, banished. God banished Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their sin. There never was sweat came on a man's brow until after the fall. There never was a thistle or a thorn in the ground till after the fall. Man had full supreme rule over the earth, over the things of the wonderful garden of God. But man was tempted. The serpent tempted Eve and she fell. And Adam took Eve willingly, being a type of Christ. We know that. Now follow with me this morning. Banished. An angel with a flaming sword. Guaranteed they would never again experience the intimate walks and talks with God. These walks and talks they had with God. Adam could walk with God. Adam could talk with God. And he lost that intimacy with God because of sin. And you know that God came looking at him. And he said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I hid myself because I knew I was naked. Praise God. Oh, I tell you, someone wasn't it banished. And this flaming sword guaranteed they'd never again experience the intimate walks and talks with God, the thornless ground, or the delicious fruit from the trees of life, forever gone, with the blissful feelings of the joy, security they had felt in the Garden of Eden. In their place, Adam and Eve felt only nagging, haunting emotions, guilt, fear, and shame. And it's not still today. Men and women feel guilt. Men and women feel shame. And that shame and that guilt started in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Paradise was lost. By a single act of rebellion against God, Adam and Eve had declared their independence. And they'd done more than merely eat a piece of forbidden fruit. And we know that people preach they eat forbidden fruit. They eat an apple or an orange. Now, we're adult enough to know that that's absolutely false. That they never eat an apple, they never eat an orange. We know it was an act, an adult act that took place. That the serpent beguiled Eve, and she partook, and then she with her husband partook. And that's why your Bible tells you, you're born in sin, sheep in an iniquity. That's why, because of the act that took place in the Garden of Eden. And I tell you, an old preacher once said, he said, if an apple made them realize they were naked, they need to pass the apple out again. And that's so true. We know it. It's to insult the man's intelligence to try and tell him that they eat an apple. And I tell you, yet with all the churches and preachers preach they eat an apple, and we know there's not one verse tells you that. Not one scripture. And we know it was an act they done. And when they done the act, after they done the act, their eyes were open. After they done the act, the serpent was cursed. And follow with me this morning. We know it wasn't more than fruit. A deeper level. They had defied the clear-cut command of the Maker. They had listened to the seductive voice of the tempter and succumbed to their own pride. They had overtly challenged the right of the Almighty God to guide and direct their lives, exercising authority and power over their own lives. Now you know what Genesis 3:15 says. And I will put enmity between you and the serpent. And I will put enmity between you, that's the serpent and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, Christ. And you know that Christ was a promised seed of the woman that was to come. Christ was that seed. And he shall bruise thy head and I shall bruise his heel. Now, at some point, Adam and Eve must have taken one last look at Eden. Think of this. They must have took one last look at the Garden of Eden. And they turned away and they were quiet. Who spoke first? Did they blame each other or did they fall in each other's arms? But they knew they were banished. They knew they were cast out. And from the beauty and from the pleasure and from the warmth and the fellowship of God, it was gone. Separation from God. Separation from the bliss of God. But there was also the gift of hope. And they began to reflect on the terrible final moments in the garden. They must have thought of the sorrow in God's voice when he called out, "Where are you?" And the puzzling curse on the serpent kept running through the minds. Genesis 3, read 14 and 15 in Genesis 3. According to God, the serpent would inflict yet more pain and suffering on the human race. But in the end, he would be crushed by the seed of Eve. And we know the seed of Eve was ultimately Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Praise God. It was a small ray of hope, a glimmer of the promise that paradise would remain lost forever. A promise of a deliverer, a savior fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3 verse 16 and verse 19 to 26, if you read Galatians 3, and you will see the promise of the Savior. Perhaps they also recalled the gentle way the Lord had graciously provided them a close just before the departure. A hint of God's love, his mercy. Soon it must become clear to them that the loss in Eden was much, you know, a terrible loss, wasn't it? I tell you, it was something. The more they reflect, the more they have become convinced that God wanted to restore them to himself. The long wait for God's promised salvation had begun. Today, unlike Adam and Eve, we don't have to wait. The day of salvation has already come. The day of salvation is here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6 to 2. Jesus has already come to save us from our sins and we believe in him. You can be reconciled to God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, Adam and Eve's sin separated them from God, separated them from the presence of God, separated them from the garden of God. But I want to say this, an old preacher once said, he said that the tree of life was guarded by a cherubim with flaming swords. And he said that was to keep man away from the tree of life. But he says, thank God today that way is made open. And the angel doesn't guard us from the tree now, but it leads us to the tree of life. And we know the tree of life is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And we know that all that Satan tried to inflict upon the human race, that ultimately he would be defeated, ultimately he would be destroyed at the cross of Calvary by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the seed of the woman. And when you read of the seed of the woman, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. That's speaking of Calvary, and speaking of the Savior, and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:20-22, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature self also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. We're waiting on something. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Those of us that are saved should have a desire for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as sin is in the world, because of one man, death is unheard of penalty. There's no way out of it. No way out of it. But going to church doesn't save you. No way out of it because you claim you're religious. None of them things is a way of escape. But the only way of escape from this penalty of sin is to take God's provided way of life. And God's provided way of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is man's escape. That is man's way back to God. It's God's provided way. And let me say this morning, God has only one provided way. There's not two ways, there's one way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign by one, Jesus Christ. Death reigned by one, it is unheard of. All men are made sinners because of Adam's sin, so death is reigning in Adam's race. Verse 19 of Romans 5 tells us, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam fell. He fell. But yet he took Eve. He took Eve. He knew what he'd done, but he took her. Because he's a type of Christ. But Jesus Christ never fell. There was no death claim on Jesus Christ, but Jesus went to the cross willingly. He laid his life down for me and you. And he took our place. And he stood in our room. And he stood in our stead. And just like Adam took Eve in her sinful condition, Jesus Christ takes us in our sinful condition. And through his precious blood, he saves us, he washes us, he cleanses us, he makes us whole again. Praise God. By one man going against the word of God, death entered the human race. Disobedience of one were many made righteous. They had no choice in it. It was passed upon them all. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, people say, we'll leave it till later. We'll leave it till later. But my friend, leaving it till later won't do. Today is the day of salvation. Every man and woman needs to make a choice. Leaving it till later is no good. You could leave it till later and die. And if you die without Christ, there's only one place for your soul, and that's the burning flames of a fiery hell. And that's an awful thing, but it's a truth. It's a truth in the Word of God. That the only place for the Christ rejecter is the burning flames of hell. For the worm dieth not, for the fire's not quenched. I tell you, it's a place that you never want to go to. It's a place that Jesus doesn't want you to go to. And he's made a way of salvation so that you don't have to go there. But he's given you a free choice, a free will. And he's calling you today. And he's saying, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Praise God. This word here, appointed, means it's laid up in store for men. That's the men that don't receive Christ. It's laid up in store for them. That's the inheritance of all sinners. Death. Death passed upon all men. Like one man said, born to die. And I tell you, every one of us is born to die. It doesn't matter what we do with these physical bodies. We can polish them. We can paint them. We can train them. We can do all them things with them. But this is still a pest house you're in. You know, an old singer sung it, and I preached it once at a funeral. And he said, he sang a song, your body is only a suitcase for your soul. And I tell you, it's so true. Your body is but a suitcase for your soul. And God loves the soul of man. And that's why Christ came to save man's soul. And, you know, we make a big mistake when we look at men and women and we think they're drinking or they're in drugs and they're a powerful big sinner. I never did those things. That's hypocrisy to think that. Because I've shown you from the Word of God, we're not sinners because we took a drink or because we took a drug. That's not what made us sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. Every man, every woman's a sinner. Some of them men are drunk, some might not have drunk. It wouldn't matter if you think you're as righteous as a lily. If you're not born again, you're lost. And you're on your way to hell if you're not born again. I tell you, there's no difference in the Jew or the Greek. There's no difference in the color of the skin. Christ died for all. It's not just rights to one, it's rights to all. Jesus Christ loves all. Jesus Christ wants to save all that'll come. Come on to me, he says, and I will give you rest. In Exodus 20, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I tell you, there's many that's inherited the sins of the forefathers. But thank God for the wee word in the New Testament, when it says he nailed the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us. That's your commandments, that's your laws. He nailed it to the cross. And he made a way for me and you back to God. Romans 5:14, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. There's where I'm getting it from. That's why I'm telling you, it's not down to how much of a sinner you are. It's wrong to look at somebody and think, well, I tell you what, you know, they're a big sinner and I'm a little sinner. That's nonsense. It doesn't work like that. All have sinned. All are guilty. All have come short of the glory of God. But thank God that God says he's laid the iniquity of us all on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That means God will save the prostitute. God will save the drunkard. God will save the drug addict. God will save the low down. It doesn't matter if you're low or high, short or tall, thin or fat. God loves you. God will save you. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God that the message of the gospel is a message of hope. And this righteousness of God can be yours. It can be mine. When we trust the Savior, he gives us his righteousness. We lay ours aside. It wouldn't take us to the door. But Jesus Christ's righteousness will take us not just to the door, but it'll take us the whole way to heaven and home. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I want God's righteousness. We never sinned like Adam, but we die like Adam. Because his sin was universal. All men are sinners by nature, born sinners. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Man himself has no power to redeem himself. Now I want to take a moment. There's preachers preaching. They're preaching they could redeem themselves. They're preaching predestination so far that they say they were always in Christ and they could literally redeem themselves. I want to tell you there's no such message as that in Scripture. And the Word of God's our footnote. Not only is it our footnote, it is our note complete. It is God's foundation. It is God's word. And this word must dovetail from Genesis to Revelations. And my Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And my Bible says, except a man repents, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And we know when John the Baptist came, he preached repentance. And we know when Jonah went to Nineveh, he preached repentance. And we know that Jesus Christ preached repentance. And we know that Acts 2:38 says, repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift is eternal life, praise God. What's verse 39 say? For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want to tell you, there's not one of us had strength enough to lace up our own bootstraps to save ourselves. But every single one of us, every man and every woman, was absolutely degenerate. We were absolutely lost. We were filthy. We were an unclean thing before the eyes of God. And every one of us were sinners by nature, sinners by birth. We were at a distance from God. Our sin put us at a distance from God. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be brought now by the blood of the Lamb of God. But we need to acknowledge that we are sinners. And we need to acknowledge that what we can do would never be enough. Not by works of righteousness, but by grace through faith he is saved. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans 8:3 tells us, for what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. We can now clearly see man cannot help being born into sin. He is earthly, so he bears the image of the earthly. Born into sin. Thank God for the way out. Now follow with me till we read this. Romans 5, verse 14 to 21. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now don't jump it. Let's read it again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. It still reigned. Who is a figure of him that was to come? But not of the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in one, by Jesus Christ. Therefore, if by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. So this free gift came to us to justify us. And this free gift came to us by one. Just like the sin came by one, this free gift came by one also. And this one that it came by was God's only begotten Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So just as you were made a sinner by one man, you this day, this moment, can be made righteous by the work, by the free gift of one man. The righteousness of one man given to you freely, the free gift that came by one, can be yours. This righteousness can be yours. Oh, my friend, this it'll preserve you, and it'll take you the whole way to heaven. I tell you, this is God's righteousness. This righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. This righteousness exceeds the righteousness of church and religious leaders. For this is God's righteousness. The righteousness of God made to us, given to us, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto Adam, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you, this grace, it reigns to righteousness. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is, you never deserved it. None of us did. But God in his grace saves us, for by grace through faith are you saved. It's the grace of God that saves you. It's not your works. It's not your willingness to turn the leaf or do better. But God will take you as you are. God will take you in your drunkenness, in your nakedness, in your uncleanness. God will take you as you are. And he'll save you. And he'll wash you. And he'll clean you. And he'll make you righteous because he's righteous. He'll give you this imputation of the righteousness of God. Oh, I tell you, I know. I'm sure even those of you that are saved, many a day the devil tells you, you're not good enough. Well, I've news for you. None of us are. But there's somebody that I'm pointing you to just now. And he is good enough. And the one I'm pointing you to just now is not me or a religious leader or some great philosopher or some great man. But the one I'm pointing you to just now is the lovely, spotless person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness. In him and in him alone am I made complete. I will reach heaven because of him. I will be victorious in this life because of him. I am a winner today because of Jesus. You are a winner today because of Jesus. You're a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. My friend, the gospel tells you God loves you. And I'm here as a preacher of the gospel to tell you the good news that God loves you. Even though you come under Adam's sin and Adam's penalty, Jesus Christ has made a way for you back to the Father, back to the throne room of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm finishing in a moment. Remember, Adam is a figure of him that was to come. We had heard Adam's sin and death, but look at the second Adam. We, by the imputation of righteousness, have gained God's righteousness through nothing of our own works, but by God's free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard an eternal life by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. One man's act was responsible for all sin and death. One man, Adam. So is one man responsible. One man who was obedient to the Father brought us an inheritance undefiled. Praise God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven forever. I tell you, there's hope, brothers and sisters, there's hope. Because of this righteousness of God, you're going to reach heaven. There's no question. No question at all. We don't preach a gospel that saves you today and losses you next week. We believe when you're saved, you're saved. And thank God, he says, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The only true wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, as Christians, we have something to look forward to. Heaven and home. But I want to, for those today that's listening in and you're not saved, and you don't know the Lord, my friend, you need to acknowledge your sins. You need to acknowledge this death penalty that you're under. And you are under it. And there's only one way to come out from under it. That's to come under something else. That's the cross. You need to come under the cross of Calvary. Under the banner of the blood. And you need to wash in the blood of the Lamb of God. And he'll cleanse you. And he'll wash you. And you'll be spotless before God. And you'll be a son or a daughter of God. Let us bow our heads today. If you're listening into this message today and you're not saved, I want to tell you that the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, people say, Brother Tom, you should have preached on this or preached on that or preached on something else. That's very good. But I believe salvation is the utmost important thing when we meet God. He that with his souls is wise. If you're not saved this morning, I'm asking you to come to Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to come to the Lord. Raise your hand up in your home, in your car, wherever you are. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you would say, I want Jesus as my Savior, lift your hand high. If you're in a field listening in, my friend, if you're in a field or on a road listening to this preacher, Jesus loves you. And he can save you where you are. Lift your hand up to heaven and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you right now. I call upon your name, Lord Jesus. I confess before you, I'm a guilty sinner. But I acknowledge what you've done for me on the cross. Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Wash me in your precious blood right now. I confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I now believe you, Lord, and accept you as my Savior. While every head's bowed, every eye closed, if you're sick in your body, and you need a touch from the Lord, I want you to believe God. I want you to put your hand on your ailment. Whether it's your back or wherever you're suffering, place your hand upon it. Jesus Christ, it's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. By my stripes ye were healed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for those that need a healing touch. Let them be made everywhere whole in Jesus Christ's name. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and I rebuke the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And I pray for the mighty touch from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Don't forget, we'll be live again at 4:30 this evening. Please tune in. And God bless you all. God bless you all.
Got your redemption hymn books with you. Let us turn to 332 and we'll sing the hymn "Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Praise God. Years I spent in vanity and pain. 332.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. On Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word and that's my sin I learned.
Jesus Christ, that you took us out of a horrible pit, and you took away the garments that were defiled in sin, and you clothed us and washed us in your own precious blood, and we thank you to us was imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, how else could we stand before a holy God, for of our own selves we could present absolutely nothing. Lord, without you we're failures, but with the Apostle Paul we can say this morning, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We just ask you now, Lord, this morning, or this afternoon, Lord, that you'll bless the pastor who brought thy word. Lord, bless all that's said and done. May it bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord Jesus, we just ask you, Lord, concerning the whole, Lord, that you'll Bring everything into being, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get the place of our own, we pray. And we ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, for even financial miracles, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you will open the doors before us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And help us, Lord, to be seeking your face. Help us, Lord, always to be mindful of you. And like the psalmist David said, let thy praise be continually in our mouths. Help us to be witnesses for you, Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in thy holy, precious name. Lord Jesus, now we commit ourselves to you and into thy hand. And Lord, as we go, Lord, from this place, Lord, go with us and grant each one traveling mercies. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 The Lord bless each one on your journey home to wherever you are going. But remember then on this evening, Facebook at 4:30. And then again on Wednesday night at 7:30. Lord bless each one. Praise God as we sing a chorus or two when we go. Praise the Lord. Amen.